Hi, everybody. Welcome to the BAT podcast. This is Randy Nonnenberg, co-founder of Bring a Trailer. I'm here at our San Francisco offices today, and I have a super special guest that is in town. So we grabbed him for a conversation. I pronounce his name Cobus. You guys may recognize that from the website. He contributes photographs. He goes to events, writes up interesting historical stories on BAT, and is pretty well known in the comments section. He's also out here for the Luftgekühlt Porsche show, among some other reasons for his visit out to the West Coast. He's out of New Jersey. Cobus, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure.
Super excited that you're here, and I'm sure people in the BAT community are going to be excited to hear from you. I pronounce your name Cobus, and you're Dutch, and just inform me that that's probably a butchering of your actual name. Give people the actual way that you say your name.
Well, the right way my wife would say is Cobus. It's actually short for Jacobus, which is Dutch, but I'm from South Africa. First Reneke went there in 1672, so you can call me a South African. But okay. That's a real Afrikaans name.
Okay, fantastic. Cobus, if you search that on the website, if you haven't already been following, his photographs are amazing on BAT. The stories are also amazing, but I'm always drawn to them for the photographic skill and capability. Tell us where that came from. Have you been shooting pictures since you're a little kid, or you just started that last year, or what's the deal?
No, a little kid. My father gave me a little Kodak Brownie, started taking photos when I was very, very young. Eventually, high school gave me a Pentax Spotmatic, so I got a little serious and started taking cars specifically. I mean, back in the day when I was in high school, we went to Kai Lumi all the time to watch the Grand Prix and the 9-hour races. Slept over, usually two nights, got dropped off. Sometimes my brother would take us and we would hide in the trunk of the car to get in for free. And it was sort of party time, you know, late. High school was a lot of party time. We didn't watch racing that much. But the real fun part about photography is in my last 2 years of high school, my brother was in college. He contributed to the newspaper in college. And I asked him, I said, hey, I go to the races all the time. Can you get me a media pass? And he wrote to the organizers and I got a photographer pass to go shoot photographs at the Grand Prix and the 9-hour races for 1969 and 70. And those articles are on Bring a Trailer, so you can see the photos. It was just a blast because then you could stand right next to the track. So I was totally hooked then. Of course, I only started picking it up again on the track when I came to the States and much later when I really hooked up with Bring a Trailer. But that's my roots. Always loved photography.
I love that.
In high school, I was sort of an athlete, so you had to go to the events. So I couldn't go to that many races, but definitely Kai Lumi always. All the big boys were racing there, and the 9 hours was just amazing. Really cool races.
I love that. Thanks for the history lesson. Yeah, super special that we have those pictures and your stories of those events on BAT now. If you go to BAT and you just search Cobus, K-O-B-U-S, you will find I just searched it here a moment ago, 17 or 18 different things that you've contributed to BAT and event coverage. And those range from your crazy historical times to some modern vintage racing that you've been doing. You have a 912 that you've had on track, and you have one of the ways I met you is you pulled up to one of our events in a silver 356, which is near and dear to my heart. So I came in, spoke to you directly, but tell us what your car activities look like present day.
Well, I like to drive. I mean, I've taken the 356 to a couple of Concours events, but it's just informal. I don't like paying or being really, it's not my thing. I like to drive the cars. Mm-hmm. So definitely take it out on the weekends to go for spins. And the racing, it's something, when I came to the States originally in 78, I'm an old guy, so look at my gray hair, which they fortunately can't see. But I came to the States in 78 and always loved to go watch vintage racing at Lime Rock Park. Mm-hmm. Actually went to the first Rennsport reunion at Lime Rock Park.
Wow.
Always wanted to race, but I thought it was crazy expensive. The people all look, you know, they have these really expensive cars and it just looked very difficult to get into it. But eventually, I think I can blame Bring a Trailer for it. in that I started photographing cars at the track. And that got me in contact, put me in contact with people who actually race. So I started talking to them and I figured out it's not that difficult. Yes, it costs some money, but it's not super expensive. So I decided to go racing. And actually, the first time was during the COVID year, the first COVID year. They canceled the driver's school at the VSCCA at Lime Rock Park. And I said, well, I want to come race. So the guy who ran the school said, well, if you have an old car, I'll let you race in a later race in the year. You won't have to do the driver's school, provided you've done like a racing school, which I had done with Bertel Roos. So I had my 356 Cabriolet stock car, and I went to race it with a VSCCA. It was hysterical. I mean, I was the slowest. And it was very uncomfortable because the seats don't give you any support. Sliding around, going around Big Bend, which is a long right-hander, I remember just my left elbow out, pushing against the door because the body just wanted to go out. Thank God the door stayed open.
But I love that because that is a full streetcar and a cabriolet. And it's a great car for those of you who haven't seen it at an event. Silver, I think green interior, is that right?
Yes.
It is. Silver green interior. But hubcaps, super hubcaps on overriders. Does it have overriders?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's like a full, not only a street spec car, but like a luxurious, like all the options, really nice car. And to take that out and try to vintage race it with guys is today, everybody's so race prep. But I have a photo downstairs in BATHQ here, a big one on the wall. From the Nürburgring in, I think, 56 or 55, 56. And a lot of the race cars are cabrios, right? With the top up. They put the top up on them and would race them at the Nürburgring. And they look like stock type cars, right? So that's kind of what you did. And these days in modern vintage racing, that car kind of doesn't have a prayer against a bunch of race prepped, even other 356s. But I love, you have your full interior. Does your car have headrests on it? Does it have those round headrests? I remember that from when I saw it. It has everything on it. It's like not stripped down at all. You could have been listening to the radio going around the track. But the fact that you did it and the fact that they let you do it, honestly, both, I think, are actually pretty neat.
The VSCCA is unique in the United States. It's actually the oldest racing organization, vintage racing organization. And they don't really like the safety side of things. They want the cars to look as stock as possible. Mm. I think they're the only organization that lets pre-war race cars actually race wheel to wheel with no protection. All you require is to have a seatbelt and a cutoff switch. And the guys go racing.
And a helmet.
But no roll bars needed. Mm-hmm. And they go bonkers. They race their cars quite fast.
That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. But seeing you doing that, they make you pull your hubcaps off or no? You ran with hubcaps?
No, it's still an ongoing joke that I raced it with a hubcap. I didn't know I have to take
them off. I love that. Well, it would save you whatever, half a pound, and then that saves you almost no time. But people have always done that. But I think I just love it that you're out there cruising around with the headrests and hubcaps and the whole deal. It's so great. But anyway, then there's the 912 story also.
Right. So that year I was convinced by my local shop, Gaspari and Gasworks Garage. They said, now I gotta come race with him because Gaspari races a 912.
Got it.
And they said it's the perfect car to come racing. And the owner of the company, Chris, races all kinds of crazy cars, including a 356. So they said, no, you got to buy a 912. So we both looked, we found the same car, and I bought it. It was like a good driver. It was newly painted, basically to get flipped. But it was a good driver, and they read it. Since then, I've rebuilt the engine, rebuilt the gearbox. They put roll bar in, fuel cell, nice seats, like period correct seats, not crazy racing seats, but it's just, it's so much fun. I'm still obviously like, I don't know, you raced.
A little bit. I'm not a real racer.
You never stop learning. It's just amazing. And Lime Rock Park is a very technical racetrack.
Lime Rock is very cool. I'm looking at your story right now with the 912. That's why I'm not making eye contact with you right now. I'm looking at your 912 on here. It's like, what's that color? Sand beige or it's Sahara or what do they
call
it? Sand beige. Anyway, a little 912 with you standing next to it in 2021. You wrote a story on BAT about getting your VSCCA license.
That's the driving school, yes.
Running that car and getting it out on track. Just really neat. Really neat to see that, and neat to see how your snapping photos in the paddock leads to making friendships, leads to ending up on track for a parade lap or two, and then all of a sudden you're buying a race car and, you know, off you go at Lime Rock. It's just really a neat sort of progression, I think.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. My days at the track is a little hectic because I try to take photos. Of course, I don't get photos of my own group. So sometimes I'll just jump into the other group, the faster group, go and take photos of my group and get back in the car again. Yeah, it's just so much fun. I actually bought an historic Formula V as well.
Oh, wow.
That
the
I
fleet
a little
is,
bit.
Is expanding. The fleet is going.
This is historic. So it's 1968.
Okay.
It was owned by Bill Noble, who's very famous for vintage V racing. This was his very first Formula V. So it has logbook number 2, SCCA logbook. In the Northeast.
Number 2.
Yeah, so it's
wow.
It's a historic race car. It's so much fun. Open wheel racing is crazy. Nice.
Okay, cool. And Formula V, that's not Porsche powered. That's Volkswagen powered. It has a little VW flat four. Cool. Have you posted photos of that one? I feel like I need to do some reading or some checking out.
I'm not sure. I should,
yeah,
right?
I at least need to see a photo.
It's the 60th anniversary this year of Formula V.
Okay.
And so I plan on taking it to pit race, where they're going to have a big reunion.
Okay.
And I'll definitely have to take some photos there.
Tell us about that pit race. I know Pittsburgh Vintage GP. Is that what you're talking about, or are you talking about
right.
something else?
No, I raced at Shenley Park. That's right. The traditional Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix.
Correct.
But it's actually a 10-day event. The weekend before.
Pit race is the track one.
It's a track.
A week before. That's right. We were there. And you were mentioning that we met there. That may have been the first time we met was at the BAT event at Shenley Park in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We went out there and did an alumni gathering. My dad grew up in Pittsburgh, and I always wanted to go see that event and knew that it's so neat that they race through the big city park there. Somehow the park still lets them do that, which is unbelievable.
It's really wild. Yeah. That's my most memorable racing experience.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, really neat. And so we met there. But yeah, there is the other event they do a week before that, which is a little bit more all-out speed, bigger V8 cars and stuff racing.
Everything, yeah.
So anyway, that's nice that you'll be racing there this summer. I know that event is going on here this summer.
I mean, I did it last year.
Okay.
So that was just so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a little story. I don't want to take up too much time.
No, please. We love it.
I raced for, I think, like 25 minutes in the Porsche-only race. So I was one of the trailing guys there racing.
This is in the 912.
In the 912.
Got it.
In a Porsche race in Shenley Park.
Got it.
With curbs everywhere and hay bales protecting you from lampposts. Anyway, I ran about 25 minutes, and my actual group race was immediately following. So I pulled off 5 minutes early, just did a U-turn, and took my spot on the grid, which was like, I think, in fourth place or something like that. I qualified fourth. So off we go, race. Within like 3 laps, I was in second place. And it's in a slower group.
I was going to say, wow, that's,
no,
that sounds
no,
very pro.
It was in a slower group. It was like in the preservation group.
Okay.
So it was a slow group. But I was up to second place, and I said, wow, okay. You know, maybe I can get a podium because you actually have podium and prizes and stuff like that. And halfway through, I'm coming down the straight to the hay bale chicane, and the brakes went.
Oh, no.
And it was really scary. I'd slowed down enough, and I kept trying it, but brakes were gone. So that was the end of my day.
But and you went through the hay bales, or you went into the grass, or what
no,
did you
I
do?
I made it through.
Okay. Wow, that sounds crazy. I love that event. Yeah, it is. There's no runoff there, and there's curbs. It's like a road through the park. There's no.
You could really lose it. Then.
Yeah, well, losing your brakes there sounds terrifying, honestly. But I'm glad it was a little bit lower risk and it worked out for you. So, wish I could have been there to see it. We have many BAT alumni cars that run that event. We have obviously BAT fans that are at that event, and we like the organizers there. I've just always had a very positive impression of what they're putting on there. It's kind of different than anything else in the country, in my opinion. So Cool. Let's talk a little bit about the things that you've been putting on the website, but also how'd you discover BAT? How'd you even figure out what BAT is or come to be part of it?
The main event for me that got me on the map with Bring a Trailer was when I went to Goodwood Revival.
Okay.
And 2017, I think. And it was just, I don't know if you've been, but
I've been there twice, yeah.
Revival astonishing twice. Event, right? Mm-hmm. The best thing in the world.
I think it's the best event in the world.
Can't get better than that.
Yeah.
But I actually got media passes through a friend of mine who went with me. He knew somebody who got us the media passes. So we got sort of run of the place to go take photographs, which was amazing. Came back with tons of photographs. And I had been following Bring a Trailer. And here and there, there were some things that you talked about to put up and something like that. But there was nothing really of substance. So I sent an email to somebody and I said, hey, look at all the photos from Goodwood. Do you want to publish it? And so they wrote a little article with all my photos. And then they said, well, are you going to go somewhere else? Can you contribute?
Well, and it helps that the photos were really great, right? I mean, this wasn't you like taking your blurry, junky photos or whatever. You're great at taking photos. So yeah, we saw those come in and said, yeah, where's this guy going? When are we going to get him to shoot photos again? I love it.
Well, I'm not that good. But
that was the event, huh? That
was the first. It's hard to miss and not take a good photograph at Goodwood.
Right.
A lot of opportunity. Yeah, so it just grew from there. You know, you asked me, can I go there? And I say, I took these photos. Do you want a little article? So it's these little articles. I'm not great at writing, but I put something together that seems to be good enough. So
that's very similar to how BAT started, honestly, with me. I don't know how to write, you know, and I started writing about cars for sale, and it was good enough that people would read it and wouldn't totally laugh their head off, right? So yeah, I think we're in the same boat on that one. So okay, so Revival 2017. I'm looking. I love just searching through your stuff here on BAT, and there's here it is, BAT Photographic Inspiration, COVID covers the Goodwood Revival. That was October 10th, 2017, right after the event, right? Probably a week after the event, you sent all that stuff over. Super, everybody ought to go look. Cobus took, you took this photo of one of my favorite Goodwood cars, which is the red Alpha Giulietta TI sedan, kind of on three wheels going through the chicane. Yeah. That's your photo?
Yeah.
I thought that was like a Goodwood press photo. I didn't know if we had rights to use that photo. I think it's on one of our BAT emails. It's one of my favorite Goodwood photos of all time. I have a car similar to that. And that's your shot. Man, I may ask to blow that one up and put it on the wall.
You can do whatever anybody can do whatever they want to do with the photos. Nobody makes money from photography.
Yeah, that's a hard business, isn't it? But it's we're glad that there's a home for them on BAT and enthusiasm around them. It's really neat. Okay, so that happened, but you knew somehow to send them to us. Had you been watching the site before that, or had heard about it from a buddy, or how on earth did you know to email us about your photos at Goodwood?
No, that was the first time, really.
Okay,
I mean, I think the reunion or the alumni gathering was before that.
I think Pennsylvania may have been just before that, and we ran into each other there. Okay.
So that's sort of where the contact developed.
Okay.
But then I went to Goodwood, took the photos, and then contacted you.
Then off to the races after that. I love it. Fantastic. So obviously a thread here of flat four-cylinder engines for you and your cars you're telling me about. 356s are sort of the focus area and the passion. But you came to the West Coast to go to Luftgekühlt this weekend. Tell me why you flew all the way across the country to go to that show.
Well, it just sounded too good to miss. I went to the one at Universal Studios, which was astonishing. And I was a little disappointed. I should say disappointed. The one at Indianapolis.
Okay.
Because it stepped down from...
You went to that as well. Okay.
But this one I wasn't going to miss. It just sounded too good. An industrial area. And the setting turned out to be just amazing. Okay. I thought it was really fantastic.
Awesome.
You do a good job.
And you were snapping photos all through?
I was taking too many photos.
So, I was there as well. I was there on Saturday. They made it 2 days this year, which just finished yesterday. But I was there on Saturday with my boy. He likes to take photos. I wish I could have paired him up with you as you were taking some of your pics. I pointed out a couple of known photographers that were there. I was like, check that guy. Watch what he does. Copy what he does, because he's really good, you know? I wish he could have found you.
Everybody's getting good at it now. I mean, they see what other people do, so they all got the little angles coming behind through windows, all this type of stuff.
Yep. So you enjoyed that show?
Oh, it was amazing, yes. Yeah. I mean, the highlight for me was to see Ken Boxcar.
Okay.
You didn't see that.
That was on Sunday. That was the pink car, you mean?
Yes.
The Pegasus. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I did not see it.
That was really special.
Okay.
I mean, it was standing in the middle in a huge cavernous building, deserted building. And people sort of kept the distance away. People obviously knew whose car it was. Hmm. It was like a shrine standing there. So they kept the distance and nobody really approached the car. That was very cool.
Interesting.
But there's so many things. I mean, I'm not too fond of the newer Porsches. I like the older ones, especially the old 911, 901 styles. But yeah, the cars are ridiculous and the setting was great.
Awesome. And it's very cool that you got to go to the Universal Studios backlot event that was a couple of years ago. A lot of people talk about that as being like the best one there ever was. That setting was also totally crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a toss-up. It's just different situation, so you can't really compare them. They're both amazing.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad you came out all the way this way and got to go to that show. It seemed like it was a special show. Several here on our staff got to go and were excited to go and have been to some of the other ones as well. So Porsche is a little bit of a area of emphasis for you, and you do some writing and some photo work for some other publications as well. Tell us about that.
Just the Porsche 356 registry. They have 7,000 members, so it's quite a big group, and everybody gets a magazine 4 times a year. So they've latched onto me, or I've latched onto them. It's just fun to take photos, and especially for Porsche, for the magazine. So I'm constantly there in articles, either just photos or writing for them as well. So it's similar to BAT, but of course a different angle to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a silver 356A, which is why I like your Cabriolet so much, and was in the 356 registry and got the magazine, and my dad did too. And, you know, we'd call each other as soon as it arrived in the mailbox and talk about reading through the member magazine and what was going on there. That was always super fun. I think there was a little article, kind of like you, kind of a little sort of grassroots article with some photos I took on an event once that I snuck it into that magazine. Somehow they let it happen. And that was very invigorating for me, kind of a exciting connection to their club. I really like what they do, and they seem to support the 356 community really well, don't they?
Very good. I mean, just got a new website that I was involved in too. And it's just amazing the amount of material in there. The technical paperwork, the PDFs they have in there, thousands and thousands of technical articles. It's just really extensive.
Did you used to get the email that they used to send out, like before, like they didn't even really have a very good website, I don't think, but they had like a message board. You'd get the 356 registry email digest that would come out, which was basically, it was like a forum of people asking technical questions like, my horn's broken, and like, I don't know, is the red wire or the black wire? What do I do to fix it? And people would get on and answer. Were you ever involved in that sort of archaic old email messaging that they did? I liked that.
I didn't do that, but they still have the forums. I'm not a big forum guy, but they have a massive forum as well, and they still have the old one. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that old website was terrible. But now it's pretty slick. It's good. I'm sort of in charge of the media side, and we wanted to do articles, so it's still sitting there. But we're looking for content, and I can't provide all the content.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
That makes sense. Anyway, it's one of the cooler sort of club magazines that are out there, and club communities that are out there, right? The events that they do, and the different 356 things. Even though those cars have gotten so expensive, right? I mean, when I bought mine, you could still get into that club for, you know, the 14 grand that I paid for my A coupe. But that those are ancient history. But still a vibrant community, and a lot of people on BAT that are involved there, and it's helpful knowledge, helpful information. So cool. So you're involved with that. You're posting some photos on BAT. What other automotive events, or what's in the future? What else is on your bucket list or things that are going to happen in the next year?
Well, I'm definitely going to go racing quite a few times this year. So that's just sort of the normal stuff. And Greenwich Concours is coming up. I don't really plan for these things. I just sort of build it around my racing now because that's almost the priority. But bucket list, and I don't know if I can do it because a very good friend of mine had some health issues. I'd love to go with him to the Le Mans Classic, which is a big year this year.
I'm going. Are you going? You should go. I'm going.
I may go.
Oh, I'd love to see you there.
I need a place to stay. Oh, and all that. Yeah. But I'm going to apply for media credentials. And I think if I get it, I will go. Because that's definitely a bucket list. I want to go back to Goodwood again. You got to do that every few years.
There's a Porsche race there this year. I think a 2 liter yes. 911 race. Yeah. That'll be fun.
And the Monaco Classic. So those types of things. I don't want to keep doing the same stuff over and over. I got to explore and do different things. Like we have, the VSCCA has 2 hill climbs for pre-war cars. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to try and find a pre-war car somewhere.
Are you going to try to drive? Are you going to try to get a pre-war car? Wow, I love it. Try. What would be on the list there?
Well, they do everything, like Bugattis and
everything. No, but what would you do? You're not going to go buy a Bugatti, are you? I mean,
No. But I have someone who may have an MG for me.
Oh, cool. Pre-war MG. That'd be funny.
But we have a very cool hill climb, too, the VSCCA, at Mount Equinox. It's the oldest paved hill climb race in the country. Not that that means much, but it's a lot of fun.
That sounds fantastic. That sounds like that'd be a good event. You say building around your racing. You're building your schedule around your racing. How many VSCCA things will you do this year? 2 or 3 or?
No, not just VSCCA. I'll probably do 3 or 4 VSCCA events. And then last year I did 10 races, race weekends, which was a lot. So maybe 8 maximum this year.
Okay.
8? So much fun.
That's a lot.
It is. But it's, you know, and my wife is probably happy that I get out of the house. She thinks I'm just nuts. But
you're not into too much trouble. I think it's a good hobby. I think that's fine as long as you're coming home in one piece from these race weekends.
Yeah. We're conservative in the racing. Things happen, right? Mm-hmm. But we're very conservative. And my car is slow. So it's just when somebody hits me, of course. You never know.
Let's cross our fingers that doesn't happen. So the BAT community is an interesting place. You've been posting these stories and connecting with some people in that way. And people like the banter and discussion. When you walked in today, you said the BATs, what we've created is crazy, the way people engage with it. How does that feel for you, putting stuff out there and having it open for people to discuss it or comment positively or negatively or whatever? What's it like being part of the BAT community?
For me, it's wonderful. It's just so much different from having something in a magazine. Like the Porsche, it's in a magazine and you see it and you're sort of proud of it. But with Bring a Trailer, when people comment and they actually ask you, you can see they're paying attention. They're there, they're real people who are interested in what's going on there. And they're not just going to criticize you for being silly. But when people come back and they ask you, do you know what car that was that they took a photo of? And then it's nice to be able to do the research, find out and see if you can get the answer, because these people obviously care. And that's something amazing that I find that you've done. It's just astonishing.
Yeah, that's very invigorating for me even as well. You know, writing early days BAT stories, you start to get into a discussion with people or you're like, wow, I didn't know that person was paying attention or, you know, it can be different. It can be different ways that they're watching or engaging. And that's fun to see. And also very different than print media. I mean, I still think, what do you think about the future of magazines and print and stuff like that? I mean, I still think it's fun to page through a magazine. Or you talk about the 356th registry or some innovation that's happening in different kind of car magazines. I think it's cool, but a lot of people think that the digital interaction, that instant feedback that you're talking about is the new way, and that the print stuff is, I don't know, I just think it's different. I think they both have their value.
No, it's like still picking up a paper and, you know, newspaper and paging through it. I love it. Like Linkage Magazine and even Hagerty puts together a great magazine. But I do think, and I just spoke to someone who's in the business, and he said, standalone magazines are going to have a hard time, and they're probably going to disappear. So unless they hooked up with like a Hagerty magazine or feeding another entity mm-hmm. that can make money for them and pay for the magazine. So it becomes a whole sort of ecosystem for them.
Yeah, the business model, I think, is problematic. But the actual experience of, you know, opening one up, I actually still think it's fun. Maybe that's just my nostalgia from
being through them as a kid. No, it's so cool. It's wonderful.
I still think it's cool to see photos like yours, like in print form like that. I still think it's neat. But BAT is a whole different flavor. Tell us about, here's a curveball question, like other cars that you had. The Porsche thing is recent, or did you have Porsches back decades ago? Or was your silver car your first Porsche you ever bought?
Yeah,
it was.
That's the first one. So, I never really liked Porsches that much. And a friend of mine who lives in Florida, he had a Porsche, and he said, no, you got to look into these things. And I slowly started looking into it. And I just said, the 356 just does something for me. But I wanted to buy a race car. So a local dealer had an Emery race car, one of the cars that Rod Emery raced. And I went to look at it. And it was just the worn down. I didn't want it.
Which one was it? The number four car? The red car? Was it red or was it blue?
It was his first race car, I think.
Because I followed those pretty obsessively at the beginning of BAT. And you say a local dealer. I know some that were out on the East Coast and a couple people had them. But anyway, doesn't matter.
And it was too run down.
Too much.
Yeah. I wasn't ready for it. But the guy had this silver 356 sitting there. And I just fell in love with it. I should probably not have bought it because I like the coupe a little better, but yeah, it's a wonderful car. And of course, here's a little side angle. I bought the car, brought it home. My wife loved it, driving around. She needed a new car. She needed a replacement. So she said she wants a Porsche too. So I said, okay, let's go shop for a Porsche. Wanted the Boxster, it's less expensive. She'd like it. Test drove it in the summer. She loved it. Bought it, and of course, come October, November, it gets cold, the top has to go up, and a Boxster has one of the worst blind spots, rear quarter blind spots.
Right.
She refused to drive it. And this is after she got vanity plates that said Sweet Susie Cure. So now I have to drive around with a buddy that says Sweet Susie Cure. How ironic is that?
That's a little different. Oh, I like that. But you still have that. So that's your daily.
Yeah. I should sell that too. It's you know, it's just an expensive car.
Yeah. They're nice though. Those are nice.
Wonderful.
I don't blame you or her for liking it. I think that's a funny license plate, but the car's cool. But then earlier, so your first Porsche took you decades to buy. What kind of stuff did you drive when you were young or in your 20s, 30s, 40s? What were you behind the wheel of?
I was never into big cars. I guess I didn't have enough money. I mean, learned to drive in
but it's humble. What'd you drive? A Volkswagen Golf or like, well, I mean, those are fine.
I had a Volkswagen Golf.
Of course. Everybody did, right? Yeah.
Just a regular old Toyota. With the kids, you have a Toyota minivan.
Sure.
And stuff like that.
Sure.
The BMW X3 now.
Okay.
Yeah, but I get my fix with the three Porsches.
Okay.
Totally enough.
Okay.
But in South Africa, my father was never a car guy. He was always Chevy, like the Chevelle.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And I learned to drive in a Morris Minor.
Okay, that's cool.
The Morris 1100.
Okay.
Was my high school
car. Well, I don't know if cool is the word for it, but that's okay, right? It's interesting.
Yeah, they're not real cars. They're mm-hmm. they're just transportation.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. I'd love to get those old cars. And maybe track them again. If I can get a Morris 1100.
You said you're at the back of the pack in the 356. You made a Morris 1100. Exactly, you may be guaranteed back of the pack. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know why I'm so involved with the racing. I just love it.
It's fun. That's very fun. It's fun to hear some of your history and the cars that you had back then or that your dad had back then. A lot of people like to surf around on BAT to look at examples of, you know, the finest Morris 1100 in the world shows up on BAT, and it kind of takes you back to maybe that one that you were driving around. But that's a fun aspect of BAT, I think. So super fun to have you here. We'll be looking forward to more stories on BAT from you, and certainly more photographs and those events coming. I can't believe you said you're going to try to do 8 vintage races. I thought you were going to say, oh, maybe I'll do 2 or 3 this year. You're going to do 8 vintage events this year, plus travel around to photograph other ones. So anyway, it's impressive. Thanks so much for stopping through BAT today. Thanks so much for what you do to contribute. I am sure I'm amplifying thanks from everybody who's listening. We love looking at your stuff and hope you do some more.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. It was fun.
Awesome. Thanks for listening on BAT today. We're going to have more podcasts. We always love talking to people from the BAT community. It's my favorite part of this. So we'll bring you more of those. Stay tuned for the next ones. See you next time.